And let's see, we have, well, I'm going to read a story on the Knicks. How do you prepare for a relying league, a reigning league most valuable player recently returned from knee surgery? You treat him like the MVP, then figure out the rest later. The Philadelphia 76ers won Wednesday night's 7-8 game over the Miami Heat and earned the right to face the number 2 Knicks in the first round of the playoffs, which means the Knicks have to prepare for one of the NBA's most dominant players, Joel Embiid, who won the MVP award last season and had his 2023-24 campaign derailed by a meniscus injury. Embiid underwent surgery in early February to repair the lateral meniscus in his left knee, then returned to play in 5 of Philadelphia's final 7 regular season games. He sat the second leg of a back-to-back and rested the Sixers' season finale against the San Antonio Spurs. And then he came up big for Philadelphia in a come-from-behind victory over the Heat on Wednesday with 23 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and a pair of threes. Embiid did his damage while clearly limited by his knee, but with 2 more days for the Team USA bound center to recover before Game 1 at Madison Square Garden on Saturday, the Knicks are treating the all-NBA big man like he's at full strength. Treating him as anything less would be a recipe for an early first-round playoff exit. It's the playoffs, so you're not dealing with the back-to-backs and that sort of thing, head coach Tom Thibodeau said after practice in Tarrytown on Thursday. So we're anticipating him to be who he is. NBA's final 5 regular season games paint a clear picture of a player who found his rhythm, ramping up for a playoff run. He scored 24 points in 29 minutes in his first game back from surgery on April 2nd, leading the Sixers to victory over the West's number 1 seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. He then scored 29 points in 33 minutes in a victory over the Heat 2 days later and finished the regular season with 3 straight games of 30 or more against the Memphis Grizzlies, Detroit Pistons, and Orlando Magic. Embiid made at least 2 threes in 4 of those 5 games following his injury return. He shot 48% from deep post-surgery and shot 2 of 4 from downtown in Wednesday's play-in win over the Heat. The Sixers star finished the season averaging 34.7 points, 11 rebounds, 5.6 assists, 1.7 blocks, and 1.2 steals on 53% shooting from the field and a career-high 38.8% shooting from three-point range. His numbers over the final 5 regular season games are about in line with his season averages, give or take a rebound here or a bucket there. And before we go to the weather, I just want to tell you this a playoff schedule. The Celtics will be playing either the Heat or the Bulls on Sunday at 1 p.m. On ABC. Then they'll have Game 2 and Wednesday at the Celtics. And the rest of them, we'll just keep up with it as the series goes along. And then, of course, the New York-Philadelphia game, the Knicks and the 76ers, Saturday at 6 p.m. on ESPN. And then again in Game 2, 76ers at the Knicks, that'll be Monday, 7:30 p.m. TNT. And then Games 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, if necessary, will be played then. I'm going to go to the weather now with Keith Sullivan. I'll be back with more sports after that.
The week's top business stories are on the Chris Business Hour, Fridays at 11 a.m. and Saturdays at 4 p.m. on Chris.
Thanks, Bill. Taking a look at the forecast for the day, calling for sunny skies, highs in the 60s, cloudy tonight, chance of rain, lows in the 40s, chance of showers tomorrow, highs in the 60s, tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, lows in the 40s. For Wednesday, for Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, showers likely, highs in the 60s. Sunday night, chance of showers, partly cloudy, lows in the 40s. We return now to Chris Sports with Bill Murphy. Bill?
Thank you, Keith. When the Connecticut Sun take the court for the 2024 WNBA season, they'll do so in some new threads. The team had introduced its new Nike Rebel Edition uniform, which it says was designed in collaboration with Mohegan Tribe. The jersey features the word mark Keesusk, that's K-E-E-S-U-S-K, on the front, which means sun in the Mohegan language. Keesusk has been featured on the team's alternate uniform since 2021. This year's uniform is black with a purple and white along the neckline, which is modeled after a traditional wampum collar, according to the team. Wampum, a quahog or whelk shell found in the ocean and on tribal shorelines, has been used for centuries by tribal nations to show honor, connection, and relationships between nations. Outside of being gifted by itself, wampum is often used to make necklaces and belts. Also, the two diamond shapes represent the sun, as well as the Orlando Miracle, which the Mohegan Tribe purchased in 2003 and rebranded as the Connecticut Sun. Fans can find the jerseys on the Sun's official website. The season begins May 14th as Connecticut takes on number one overall pick Caitlin Clark in Indiana at Mohegan Sun Arena at 7:30 p.m. Now, we're going to go over to Huskies basketball. He was the first-team All-NCAA tournament, first-team All-East region, and first-team All-Big East. On Wednesday, Cam Spencer earned his first-team honors for his work in the classroom as well. The UConn men's basketball standout was named a first-team 2023-24 Academic All-American by the College Sports Communicators, that's CSC. The graduate guard became the fourth Husky to earn CSC Academic All-American honors in program history, joining UConn legends Wes Belasuknia from 1966 to 67 and Amika Okafor from 2002-2003 and 2003-2004, and Randy Levine, 1977-78. Earlier this week, the CSC announced UConn women's basketball star Paige Beckers had also been named a first-team academic All-American. Spencer is pursuing a certificate in nonprofit management at UConn and holds a 3.50 GPA, according to the school. He finished his undergraduate time with a 3.80 GPA. On the court this season, Spencer ranked second on the team in scoring, averaging 14.3 points per game. As expected, Alex Caraban will show his skills to NBA scouts and coaches before deciding where to play next season. Caraban, a sophomore forward, has been a starter on the Huskies' back-to-back national champions and has talked about going for a three-peat as a junior in 2024-25. But he has the option of entering the NBA draft, working out, and getting feedback from teams before deciding whether to enter the draft or return to UConn for another season. After many conversations, I am beyond excited to chase my NBA dream and enter the 2024 NBA draft while maintaining my college eligibility, Caraban said via social media. Caraban has until June 16th to decide whether to withdraw from draft consideration and return to school or go pro and forego his final years of eligibility. At 6'8", Caraban has NBA size for the position and adds three-point shooting ability and a versatile skill set. In 78 games, he has averaged 11.3 points, 4.8 rebounds, 1.8 assists, shooting 48.7% from the floor, 38.9% on three-point attempts. The question to consider is where he would be picked. Teammates Donovan Klingon was already declared, and Stephon Castle, expected to announce his intentions this week, are both projected to go high in the first round, where millions would be guaranteed. If the feedback Caraban 21 gets indicates he would be drafted in the second round or at all, he could decide to return and play another season to boost his stock. And now we're going to go to the story about the next man in the middle. That's the headline here. It says, who is Terrace Reed Jr.? A look at the ex-Michigan big man who could fill a starting role. It's a sad reality for UConn men's basketball fans to think about, but next year the Huskies won't be led by Bristol native and 7-foot wunderkind Donovan Clingan in the middle. They'll have to move on from the big man who leaves stores and heads to the NBA with 2 championships in 2 years and a lifelong UConn legacy. Who will replace Clingan? In the hearts and minds of fans, it's not clear that anybody can. On the court, it may be even harder to replace him. On Wednesday, part of Dan Hurley's plan to gear up for a run at an unprecedented modern era three-peat became clear as Michigan transfer Terrace Reed Jr. announced his commitment to UConn. At 6 feet 10, 265 pounds, he's an athletic, bruising, big, though not quite as imposing as the 7'2", 285-pound Clingan. Though Hurley may not be done portal shopping, his favorite activity, it's clear he believes Reed, who started 31 games for the 8-24 Wolverines last season, is a player who can help UConn stay on top of the college basketball world. The St. Louis native and 4-star recruit out of Link Year Academy averaged 9 points and 7.2 rebounds per game as a sophomore last year while shooting 51.9% from the field. So who is Terrace Reed exactly and what strengths does he bring to UConn? We asked Andrew Kahn, Michigan men's basketball beat writer for the MLLive.com, about his game and how he might fit into plans for the 2-time defending champs. By the way, this story is written by Kels Dayton. The interview has been edited for length and clarity, and I will read as much of it as I can. First, the current says, how would you describe Reed's time at Michigan? The coach says, well, to take you back, freshman year he played 12, 13 minutes a game because they had Hunter Dickinson starting as center. He cleaned up around the basket, was a good rebounder, and played really good defense. He was not a starter, but he was a closer. Head coach Juan Howard always said he'd come in and he'd be a rim protector. He'd switch on to guards and move his feet pretty well. It was promising. I'm going to just move on quickly to these questions. What difference did you see in his game this year as opposed to his freshman year? Kahn says his field goal percentage was about the same, 51.9%. His free throw percentage went away up, though still not good, 58.6% last season, up from an abysmal 40% his freshman year. Another question from the current, could you see Terrace taking over as UConn's starting center? And Kahn, I want to be clear who Kahn is. He is Michigan men's basketball beat writer, not the coach, as I mentioned before. He's a beat writer for this interview. And I'll repeat that question. Could you see Terrace taking over as UConn's starting center? And Kahn says, yeah, I mean, he's not Clingan. Clingan was amazing defensively. He was all these things I'm talking about, Reed, but just at a higher level. Just great hands, an unbelievable rim protector, and bigger. Reed's not quite 7 feet, but guys typically are transferring with the thought of starting, right? Could he play alongside another big Samson Johnson? He did that with Dickinson, but Dickinson was a shooter. You don't typically want 2 non-shooters out there. That's not Reed's game. Another question from the current, were you surprised that he ended up transferring to UConn? Kahn says, yeah, certainly, probably some surprise, yeah. Like, okay, he's going to be the 2-time defending national champs, going to them, rather. Good for him. But he showed enough flashes. This team went 8-24 last year, so everyone looked worse than they could be. They were bad as a team, so the individual parts didn't look as good. But you take a step back, and it wouldn't be hard to think about some of those guys as a better team thriving. Reed probably played too many minutes, and they probably tried to run too much offense through him, so it hurt him, and it hurt the team. But at UConn, all the pieces are going to be better, you'd think, so it should work out better for him. Another question by the current, as far as his offensive game, you said he's not a shooter. Does he have a mid-range game, or is he just a post player? Kahn says, yeah, it's back to the basket right near the basket. He would catch it sometimes and face up and get into his jab step and then try to spin off the guy and then back him down. But you can probably count on one hand the number of times he actually took that mid-range shot. It was almost all around the basket. And another question the current says, how would you describe his personality? We talked to him a fair amount after games, and this year most of them were losses, and he'd still take ownership for himself and the team. He was pretty honest about what was happening, not the most vocal guy, maybe a little soft-spoken, and but his teammates seemed to like him. He talked about religion a lot and his faith, and that helped him through what was a tough season for the team. And finally, the last question the current asks, do you see him adding anything to UConn, maybe his strengths, filling a need that they had, keeping this team at a championship level? Khan says it's hard to see that team getting much better, and losing a guy like Klingon, that's not a good thing. Can he step in and give you exactly that production? That's a lot to ask. But yeah, he's a talented player who certainly does some of those things that Klingon gave you, so there's promise there. But yes, he can absolutely be a starter on a very good team. He definitely can. The other pieces matter there too. Of course, he can't be the best player on a national championship team, I don't think, not right now. But there's still definitely room for growth. The school of thought is that bigs sometimes take a little bit longer to develop than guards. So I think the hope is that he's getting better at a higher rate than some other players. We'll tell you what's on the air now. Baseball, quite a lot of Major League games, 6:30 p.m. The Red Sox are at Pittsburgh Pirates. That's on NESN, Radio 1080 WTIC. 7 p.m., the Tampa Bay Rays are playing the New York Yankees. That's on YES, Radio 97.9. 7:15, Texas at Atlanta, and that's going to be on Apple TV+. The Mets will be out at the Dodgers. That's going to be a 10 p.m. game, and that will be on SNY, Radio 880, WCBS out of New York. And at 10:15, Arizona at San Francisco, that's on Apple TV. In basketball, NBA Eastern Conference play-in tournament, Chicago at Miami, that's on ESPN. 9:30 p.m. Western Conference play-in tournament, Sacramento at New Orleans. And one golf event, 2 p.m., PGA Tour, the RBC Heritage second round on the Golf Channel. That's it for the sports for today. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great day, everybody, and please stay safe.